I wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4 and reading from verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thought troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is coming from my lord the king. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities in showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came from the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and thy understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. On our last visit to the book of Daniel, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar had a second dream, a dream that troubled him, a dream that was about a very large tree, a tree that was very strong, which provided food and shelter. We also saw that there was a divine messenger who came down from heaven, who decreed that the tree should be cut down, no longer able to provide food and shelter for the animals. Though the tree would be cut down, because what has been decreed will take place, it would not be destroyed. The action against the tree was a decree, a fixed decision by the authority of heaven. We're once more reminded of God's desire to teach sinners his way, and in this case specifically Nebuchadnezzar. And the lesson on this occasion: the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whosoever he wills and sets over it the lowliest of men. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he summoned his wise men, hoping that they would be able to interpret his dream. They were able, or unable, to provide Nebuchadnezzar with an interpretation. He therefore summoned his chief magician, Daniel. He then related the dream to Daniel. Daniel was able to interpret the dream. He had interpreted a first dream. And so Nebuchadnezzar knew Daniel was able to do this, but he also knew that his wise men were unable to provide him with a suitable answer or interpretation. But yet, as we see, he chose to ask them first, and they failed to give him an interpretation. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God had provided Nebuchadnezzar with a warning, which brings us to chapter 4, part 2, verses 19-37, where Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In these verses, we see the patience of God, the compassion of Daniel, and the severity of divine discipline. But we also see the miracle of a transformed heart or life. In verse 19-27, the truth of the tree revealed. Nebuchadnezzar, having related his dream to Daniel, requested that Daniel give him the interpretation. Previously, I'd mentioned that there was a wind of change blowing, and it was beginning to stir Nebuchadnezzar's life. And in these verses, we see the early signs of the movement. Nebuchadnezzar's address to Daniel reveals a subtle but significant change. He recognizes and acknowledges that there is something different about Daniel, something that was divine. There are instances in our world today that one could say parallels Daniel's and Nebuchadnezzar's circumstances. There have been instances, and many of you have probably heard testimonies, where individuals, in giving their testimony of becoming a Christian, state that it was because they saw something different in a fellow student, a friend or a companion, that pointed them to go and look and follow the right path. Sadly also, there are those to whom God reveals himself generally through his word. It stirs their thoughts and may even trouble their conscience, but they stop short of repentance. Being made aware of God's revelation is not the same as surrendering to him, having hope, putting one's trust in his salvation. Nebuchadnezzar was confident that Daniel could interpret his dream. He believed that the holy gods resided in Daniel. In chapter 2, we read that he acknowledged Daniel's God as a revealer of mysteries. And though Nebuchadnezzar knew Daniel's proven ability, he still consulted his own wise men. On both occasions, when God revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar, the king was asleep, possibly resting. This does not mean that God only speaks to us in dreams. It does highlight, however, God's sovereignty in that he reveals himself when and how he chooses. Daniel, having heard the dream, we read, he is stunned. He's silent for an hour. Nebuchadnezzar, sensing Daniel's distress, urges him not to be afraid to reveal the interpretation of the dream. Daniel's response shows his compassion. He said, "My Lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, Nebuchadnezzar had recognized divine wisdom in Daniel. Now we experience divine compassion from Daniel, evidence of the Holy God's presence in Daniel. Verses 20 to 22, Daniel begins his interpretation. He tells Nebuchadnezzar that the great tree represents him and his vast empire. God had blessed him, strengthened him, and extended his dominion. His kingdom had spread throughout all the world. Nations found shelter and provision under his rule. In his success, Nebuchadnezzar failed to give God the glory. Pride took root. Instead of acknowledging the giver, he exalted himself as though he was God. Daniel reminds Nebuchadnezzar of the watcher, the holy messenger that he saw come down from heaven, commanding that the tree be cut down. Yet the stump was to remain, bound with iron and brass. There have been different views as to the symbolism of the iron and the brass band. One view, which I'll share with you, is that it signifies God's sovereign preservation of the Babylonian kingdom during the period of the king's judgment. A sovereign God is in control and prevents total collapse whilst he is being judged. Praise God, there is hope. He is sovereign. A sovereign God in control prevents total collapse. The purpose of the judgment was not destruction, but to teach humility and patience. It was an opportunity for Nebuchadnezzar to change his ways and to glorify God. The change in the watcher's description of the tree's future. The change from being applicable to a tree turns to a man. Let him be wet with dew from heaven. For 7 years, let him eat grass with the animals of the field. The interpretation. Daniel explains that this is a decree from the Most High. And because it is a decree from heaven, it will certainly come to pass. Nebuchadnezzar will be driven from human society, from his palace, by his people. He will live like an animal for 7 years, until the king had learned that God is sovereign over all kingdoms. And as we saw earlier in the Psalm, David recognized and acknowledged the sovereignty of God. A timely reminder for Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26. Grace shines through. There is hope for Nebuchadnezzar. He's told that the stump of the tree with its roots indicated that his kingdom will be given back. However, this would only occur when he learns and acknowledges that heaven rules. Verse 27, once more we see Daniel's compassion. He urges the king to take heed of his advice, to repent, to turn from sin, and instead practice righteousness. He needed to show mercy to the poor. Perhaps then his prosperity would continue. Worth noting that judgment is decreed, but mercy is offered. Jesus experienced decreed judgment so that we might receive divine mercy. Verses 28 to 36, Nebuchadnezzar's pride leads to his downfall. Daniel's counsel was compassionate. It was clear, stop, change your way of life. But it was also urgent. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar did not heed Daniel's advice. The next four verses show the tragic result of ignoring human guidance, advice, and divine warning. Nebuchadnezzar's downfall, verses 29 to 33. 12 months pass. God gave the king space, time to think, time to repent. Whether Nebuchadnezzar heeded Daniel's advice or the results of God's grace, we are not told. What we do know is that God's ways are higher than ours. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 9 we read, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours." After a period of 12 months, Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his palace. Unfortunately for him, his pride made an entrance. "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" The words were still in the king's mouth when a voice from heaven decreed judgment. The dream becomes reality. The king is driven from human society, living like an ox, drenched with dew, hair like eagle's feathers, nails like bird's claw. The mighty king, who believed himself to be a god, had become a spectacle of humiliation. Verse 34 to 36, Nebuchadnezzar's change of heart. At the end of the appointed time, 7 years, something remarkable happens. We read that Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes up to heaven. A simple act, but it marked a turning point. We read, "His reason returned, his sanity is restored." And importantly, his first act was one of worship. He blesses the Most High. All praise and honor. He acknowledges the sovereignty of the Most High and that his dominion is eternal. He acknowledged a sovereign God does as he wills among the inhabitants of earth and heaven. None can stay his hand or question him. "What doest thou?" As he praises God, his honor and splendor return. His counselors and his lords, having driven him away 7 years previously, now sought him. His kingdom is restored and excellent majesty is added to him. Here we have evidence of grace, evidence of mercy. This is a God of heaven revealed, worthy to be worshipped and adored. A God who humbles the proud and lifts up the lowly. Verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar pays tribute to the King of Heaven. His final declaration is a testimony of his transformation. "I praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven." All evidence of pride appears to have been got rid of. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that all the works of God are truth. There is also recognition of the ways of God and his judgment, which Nebuchadnezzar had experienced. His final words are a reminder of his experience. "Those that walk in pride, God is able and does and can abase." The chapter started with pride. However, it ends with praise. The king who once exalted himself now exalts the God of heaven. What can we learn from Nebuchadnezzar's example? The king who once boasted, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built?" now declares, "I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." The man who once exalted himself now exalts the God who reigns forever. The one who walked in pride now testifies that God is able to humble the proud. I mentioned earlier about a wind of change blowing, a wind that had a dramatic effect on Nebuchadnezzar's life. Some things do not change, sadly. People are still blinded by pride. Some people are still deceived by their success. "Look what I've done." A gracious God still resists the proud. However, there is hope. Grace still restores those who lift their eyes up to heaven. The challenge for us as we depart is, have we taken credit for what God has done in her life? Have we been guilty of resisting or ignoring his warnings? Have we ignored his kindness and failed to give him the thanks and praise that he deserves? The God who humbled Nebuchadnezzar is the same God who calls to us and speaks to us today. He is sovereign, he is patient, he is merciful, and he is worthy of all our praise. May we be inspired, as Nebuchadnezzar was, to say with conviction, all his works are truth, all his ways are just, and may our lives bear witness to the God who rules in heaven and reigns over the kingdom of men. Amen.